Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving with Rusty. Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. It's Living and Thriving time, and guess what? I'm Rusty. As always, I love Thursdays. Thursdays are magical days for me. I feel like glitter and sparkles and unicorns and fairies and all kinds of wonderful magical things happen because I get to talk to people all over the world with amazing stories to inspire, create, reinvent, motivate, encourage, and Whoa, that's a lot. That's just a lot already, isn't it? And I get to do it several times a day on Thursdays. And I just, wow, feel so blessed to have that opportunity to connect you with these beautiful seeds that are thoughts and movement and motion in this chaotic world of just stuff. And today I have author Bridget Irby, hopefully I said her last name right, of Unleash the Unstoppable. And as you know, I am all about my Wonder Woman Wonder Ruse. I have my superpower bracelets on. Click, click. Girl, I am unstoppable. And I hope you will be too by the time we are done with today. I am super excited. I had Jonathan Sr. on a few hours ago, but because Blog Talk has squeezed me so much, I have to change venues because I can't do as many shows on Thursdays as I used to be able to do. So definitely be on the lookout for where we are relocating the podcast. Again, it's just there's over 5,000 people that want to be on this show. So I do as many as I can on Thursdays without totally pooping out. And I really appreciate everyone who donates to the podcast because it's not cheap to do this. And I don't really want to have advertisements on here to pay for it. So when you donate, you're donating to have an ad-free, zone-free time in which you get to learn what's ooey-gooey about my guests. Enough of that mommy-ness. I'm so excited about Bridget. Knock, knock. Bridget, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yay! I can hear you. I'm so excited about having you. You're going to try to leash my unstoppable because I'm just so unleashed.
I am so excited. Even just hearing your voice and your energy as you came on, I was like, this is about to be amazing. I'm excited.
It's going down.
It is.
Oh, I'm so grateful. It's going down, yes. Girl. All right. So who are you? What do you do? And what inspires you to get up every morning?
Wow. So what inspires me to get up every morning? The ability to have impact and purpose and to go out and to help people every day. So I have been a problem solver my entire life. Everybody has their special gifts, and mine are, you know, finding problems and solving them. And I do that in the corporate world. I do that in terms of business and marketing, sales, and strategy. I've been doing that. That's what I do for money. That's my business. I've been doing that for many, many years. I worked as a corporate turnaround specialist for about 10 years. And so I would go in when companies were failing and I would build them back up. And then I would go and do it again and again and again and again. And so that's my special secret superpower. But ultimately, it's really just about learning about problems and helping people to solve them. And if you can do that effectively, that's sales and marketing. That's what it is. So I am really, really excited to talk to you today because my super special passion and the reason that I get up every morning is really to inspire people to create the life that they want and to not necessarily, I try to be careful how I use my language, but I want to say we all need to unlearn the things that we believe about ourselves to be true and to really find our own truth. I think when I grew up in a very small town in Louisiana, and I grew up believing that I had this one road, this one outcome, And it was, you know, to go in and to work a job. And I loved to write whenever I was very, very little. And I was told that that's not a real thing. People don't make money doing that. That's not what people do. And so I learned that, okay, this was the path that I needed to go. And as I've gotten older, I've gotten back to writing and I've become a best-selling author. And I've really just been able to create this life that's really beautiful, that inspires me every day, that makes my family happy. And I'm really blessed to be able to share that with people around the world. And I travel and I speak. And my big mission, the thing that excites me most, is really about encouraging people to live the life that they want and to be able to take those big, brave, and bold steps, even when it's scary, without having to have something to facilitate that change. And for us, you know, we had this crazy experience that facilitated that change that ultimately was just definitely something that came and hit us out of the blue. And it took that to have us to create the life that we want. And I don't want anyone else to have to do that. So that was a lot of words, wasn't it?
Yeah, but what was great is you didn't really stumble. You were just like, whoa, and you let it go, and it was awesome. The show isn't, you know, I love having people on the show who have never been on a show this style before, because I really think that we just met. We're sitting on the couch having a glass of wine or a cup of tea or whatever your libation of choice is.
Right.
And we're just getting to know each other. Like, hey, you look cool. I'm pretty cool. That's have cool conversation. And I don't do scripted. And we are so used to having a scripted prim and proper dialogue that I think we've forgotten about the creativity and the mind-bending conversations you can truly have when you just let go. You're just free. You know? And I love the way you talk about writing. You know, I was told never to write. I suck at it. I don't, you know, I'm grammatically a mess, blah, 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 all of this stuff. And the last time I was diagnosed with precancerous cells and I was going through a divorce, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to write because this is what my calling is. I do not write well. I'm not grammatically perfect. I just am me. And in that exploration of myself and writing, you know, publishing my 13th book this year, even though I'm not supposed to, because I don't meet the grammar heads.
I love it.
You know, but I've explored this delicious side of myself that I really don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. Life is too short. And I came in screaming. I'm going out screaming.
Love it. Oh, my God. That's so amazing. That's, you know, you hit the nail on the head right there where you said life is too short. Most of us don't live our lives with that kind of awareness. We really don't.
Yeah, so talk to us about your awareness. What was that kind of cosmic moment that you just got hit by that 2x4 that God loves to give us that says, girl, go out and write. Do this.
Well, actually, that's kind of a funny story. So I wrote whenever I was in school, so like elementary school, middle school, high school, and I was published several times. And then, you know, as I got older, it was like, that's not the real thing, the normal thing. And I got involved with sales and marketing and started doing the corporate turnarounds. And lo and behold, whenever I started my own consulting company, I wrote a book, but it was really centered around business. And total transparency, it really shocked the mess out of me that people actually read it. It really did. And then people came to me and they were like, wow, this really, really helped. And they were like, well, you know, how can I get more? How can I do this? How can I do that? And I realized that, you know, writing was just really no different than anything else, right? It's really no different than having a conversation. And if you... And I'm not talking about like writing textbooks, obviously, but when you can relax and just have a conversation, those are the best books. So it kind of became a happy accident. And then when I started moving more in terms of the life piece and sharing my story and all of those kinds of things, I wrote it first because I was afraid to talk about it because I didn't feel like I could hold it together. And just like you said, you know, you started writing more for you. Like I need to get this out where it's like something inside of you and it's like you have to birth it out, right? It can't stay inside of you. It was very much the same thing where I knew I needed to discuss things. I knew that I could share my story. And I'm a big believer in turning your pain into purpose, right? I think that that's really the thing that we have to do when we go through things in life, when we go through seasons where it's just like, it takes so much from you, that the way that I cope, and I don't know if this is for everyone, but the way that I cope and the way that I deal with things and the way that I can look back and not have really any negative feelings for anything that we've gone through is to give that pain a purpose. And so that was whenever I started writing more around the, you know, creating the life that you want and making these big and bold moves. So it's kind of like an accidental journey, but it was very, very surprising for sure. And then after our son's accident, it was just like, I have to do it. I just have to do it. It's got to come.
My thing was I tried so hard when I wanted to explore this possibility of writing a book, of being very contrite and very focused on editing and focused on all of the things that I was told all my whole entire life that I couldn't do. And it really killed. It killed my soul. Like, it just sucked. Everything that I wrote sucked. Like, and when I decided that, I realized that I wasn't coming from an authentic place and I started writing from my authentic place, boy, it became beautiful. Did you notice that transition when you were like, okay, I'm just overthinking this. This is crazy.
So I have always been a done is better than perfect kind of person. I totally feel you. I am not, you know, if any of my writing teachers from school ever read my stuff, I'm sure that they're going to like take their time to find my number and call me and chastise me about how my writing is structured. So I use a lot of dashes and I write like I speak. So I am not correct, you know, per se in how you're supposed to write. And I did not, so whenever I started writing about like our personal journey, I will tell you it was something that I was so logically resistant to. Have you ever had an experience in your life where, you know, you knew that you were called to do something, but you really don't want to do it? Like every logical thought process in your mind and in your body is like, no, don't do it. You ever have that?
Yeah, I call those God's 2x4s because every time I tried to steer away from my radio show or steer away from my writing,
right,
or steer away from the speaking engagements, I get, oh, you're fired. Or,
oh my God,
you know, just like these huge, because
yeah.
I'm the only redhead in the family and I'm stubborn as hell. So it has to be really big for me to listen. And, it, you know, the universe has been really clear that if I try to step outside of this realm, my car is going to break down and I can't afford to fix it. Or
something
huge.
Yes.
So yes, I feel you.
So so the first book that I wrote was very much, I would say, so if you imagine like this discussion between me and God or the universe, however you define that, I was very much like a reprimanded toddler. You know, when you're dealing with kids and
they're still reprimanded.
Like a reprimanded where they've been doing something bad or they're not, you know, something they're not supposed to be doing, and then they do what you tell them that you, you know, they need to do, but they like give you this stank eye, like the evil eye the whole time. Like,
oh yeah, that
at you.
Who's the boss here?
So that was me. That was me. You're writing my book.
I feel you.
That was totally me. And I was like, fine. This is what you want. You know, I'll do it. But it was not like, I didn't come into it with like this grateful heart of abundance. Like, I'm so excited about doing this. No, that was not it. So I wrote it. And so I wrote it and I like published it super quick. Like, I didn't edit anything.
Oh, no.
I wrote it and published it super
just
quick.
Let it go. Yep.
And what was, I was like, I just have to get it. I'm just going to do it. And I'm just going to get it out and it's just going to be done. So I basically just like word vomited all over the page.
Word vomiting, that's new, I love it.
Yes, like just word vomited it all over the page, like no real good structure around it or anything. And what was so funny, and like this is the way that the universe works, right? So I published it, and I'm a sales and marketing professional, okay? Promoting things is what I do, right?
Oh, you
so
can't promote yourself, you cannot.
No, yeah, I didn't tell anyone. I didn't share it on social media. Nothing. So I put it out, and my husband knew that I was writing it, you know, because he was the one that my little reprimanded toddler self, I went and complained to him. You know?
Right.
Like,
right.
I'm
turning blue in the face. I'm not going to breathe anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So he knew that it was out, but I told no one else. And so he mentioned it when he was at work, like someone, I don't know if they asked how I was doing or what, but anyway, so he mentioned it to this woman. And so it had been out, I think, for about 3 days. And I had just gotten to the point where I couldn't stand it anymore. Like, I had to go take it down. I just had to. I had to. And it was so much like that little, like, kid where you're like, don't touch the stove. And then they're just looking at you, and you see their hand, like, you know, going.
Kind of crawling secretly
across. And you're like, I said, don't do that. And then their hands like, we,
right.
Totally
I can do whatever I
totally
want. You're not my mom.
Yeah. Like, I'm just like, no. So I got on, I logged into the dashboard that, like, you know, that was where my book was. And I was like, okay, I'm going to take it down. So I logged into the dashboard and was literally about to click the button to like withdraw my book for good, and I got a message on Facebook Messenger, and it was a woman that my husband worked with, who I had met, you know, a handful of times, but I didn't really know her very well. And she messaged me, and she said, Bridget, oh my gosh, I just finished your book, and it came along at the exact right moment in my life, and I just wanted to tell you it's exactly what I needed to hear. You literally changed my life.
Aww.
Thank you so much. Yeah. So that was my toddler thing. And I still, like, you know, total transparency, I still do it now. I'm not going to take that speaking engagement.
Right, exactly.
I don't want to do that. Yeah. But then I do it, you know, and then everything's
good. Well, and I think I love the fact that, you know, you embrace your humanness, because frankly, that's all it is you just being human. You're allowed to doubt yourself. You're allowed to look at yourself funny. Nobody else is, but you are.
That's right. That's
you know?
Right. Let me ask you something.
Sure.
You know, I feel like I since we're just, you know, chatting,
yeah.
I feel like I have this, it's still just like a constant tug of war. Between, you know, what, like, the logical piece and then that creative and connected and spiritual piece. Do you feel like that? Like, like all the time? Or are there times where you're just like in your zone and you're good? And if so, what's the difference?
Well, I think it's the human versus the conscious. So in my way of translating this piece, it's perfectly normal. It's exactly what we're supposed to do. So we are conscious beings, and we have this highway in what we call our brain. It's really a conscious highway. It is, you know, 95 or whatever your favorite highway is, mm-hmm. with thousands and thousands of drivers who have thousands and thousands of thoughts and thousands of problems. And shit, just say millions. Who cares? Don't matter how many. Mm-hmm. You get the point. And mm-hmm. our job is to say, okay, whew, that's really intense. I have all this information. Thank you very much. I'm going to put it aside so I can do what I'm supposed to do because I have a universal calling. And we all have a calling. We all have a path. We all have a thing that we're supposed to do. Whatever that means, that's your business, not mine, but that's the way it mm-hmm. is. So our human experience challenges our spiritual self. And that's, you know, we can use the word fear-based, we can use the word ego, we can use the word self-doubt, self-criticism. That's all man-made, manufactured human stuff. And I think we constantly have that teeter-totter, you know, and sometimes we're the fat kid on the teeter-totter. It's just not tottering enough, you know.
I've
been there many times.
That was amazing. That was so good. That was so
yeah,
funny.
I think that's perfectly normal. You saw you fly.
That was so perfect. That was so perfect.
Did that answer your question?
That totally answered my question. Yeah, you know, you asked something a minute ago about, you know, when did you make that leap, or, you know, what was it that allowed you to have that kind of awareness?
Yeah.
You and I have talked about it, like a little bit about that piece of awareness where, like you said, you came in screaming, you're going to go out screaming.
Mm-hmm.
So I have seen, but yeah, I hope this doesn't come out as like being super morbid, but I've seen a lot of death. So I worked as a nurse. And I saw like many young people die, many, many young people die. And I think if we all could understand what a gift every single day is, none of us would be the best.
Exactly. And it's something that's really hard to wrap your head around is the appreciation and gratitude that we have the ability to give each and every moment. And because you were a nurse and you were witness to so many lives shortened by whatever issue, your heart is opened larger than a lot of other people who don't have that one-on-one contact. I always say you don't know what you don't know until you know. And if you're not open-minded and willing to experience things that you don't know, you're never going to know. So you can't relate to it. So you can't appreciate it, and you can't have gratitude, or it just doesn't exist in your algorithm and in your wheelhouse. And that too is something that I wish more people understood and had compassion towards other people about, because you really don't know. And we've de-evolved into creatures that are quick to judge, quick to assume, quick to jump out, and quick to be angry. You know, we were cavemen, cavewomen once, and that made sense because we had to be quick on the move because the animals that were way larger than us wanted to eat us. You know, and we had to be quick on the move because we were hungry and we wanted to eat them. But we're not like that anymore. I got four Publixes all within a 5-mile drive here. I don't have to freaking jump nothing. I'm always going to be the fat kid on the teeter totter because I just got my fast food. But don't have to be that way. That's the way we've evolved and created who we are now because of radio, because of TV, because of all of these external influences. We've dug our feet into the ground going, I'm holding my breath. I'm going to turn blue. I don't care what you say. You're not my mama. And
right,
not let go of that and not say, hey, I'm going to step outside and say, hey, neighbor, what's up? Oh, yeah, this is pretty cool Vans. Where'd you get those? Very simple conversation. That neighbor might have a tidbit of interesting information that you want to know. That neighbor might be a total creepazoid and you want to run away. Who knows until you go out and do it?
That's so good. So good. So what was your moment?
My moment? Oh, I had a lot.
Yeah,
I was the only redhead in the family.
Yeah. if you had a defining moment that set you off on the path that you are now, what was your moment?
When I lost absolutely everything, I was completely homeless. My ex-husband was stalking me, and I couldn't do anything about it.
Oh, my gosh.
No internet, no TV, no shelter, no food, no way to get food, no way to get a shower. And I'm just sitting there going, are you kidding me right now? So that was a defining moment to continue doing what I do because it hurts to feel like you don't have someone who understands what you're going through. And that's one of the reasons why I keep this show up, because your story about your son and about nursing and how you became more gracious and gratified in your life can inspire and give somebody who's out there on the street or out there with cancer or out there who just lost their child to some sort of stupid gang thing a little bit of inspiration to at least take one more breath. And that's why I do what I do.
That's so powerful.
So let's get into what happened to your son. Oops, we're going to get deep now.
Huh?
I said we're going to get deep now. Come on.
Oh, yes. Okay. So our son was on his way home. Well, let me back up. Our son was a senior in high school. He is one of four. Our oldest child was out of the house at this point, so he was like the most grown child, you know. He was 18.
He could pay his own bills. Woohoo!
Yeah, well, it was his senior year in high school. He had yet to pay a single bill, but we were hopeful. Our son was a senior, and then we had two younger children as well. And he was 2 months from graduation. He was actually signed up for the Marine Corps, like the delayed entry program. So with that Marine Corps program, he was just waiting on his high school diploma. They had to do PT several times a week. So he was actually leaving PT and was on his way home when a driver turned in front of him. And he didn't have any time to react or anything like that. And he was ejected from his motorcycle into the side of the car. And he sustained a very, very severe head injury, which left him in a coma. Technically, he was in a coma for over a year. You know, being in a coma is a really weird, weird thing. It's not like what you would think. Have you ever known someone who's in a coma or like had a bad head injury?
Yes.
Yeah. It's funny because as a nurse, I worked cardiology. I did ICU and CCU, and I never did any kind of neurology. So I never dealt with patients that were like that. So a big part of me really thought that it was kind of like the comas that happened whenever I would like watch soap operas with my grandmother, whenever I was going, you know, where like their hair.
Right. That eerie beep, beep, beep. And everybody's sitting around crying with their tissues and the hot guy comes in going, they said she was going to live another hour.
Yeah. They like magically wake up and just start talking to you. And no,
right.
That's not the way that it happens. No, that's not the way it happens at all. So, yeah, so he started, like, just beginning to wake up, like, around between, like, month 8 and month 10. And when I say beginning to wake up, like, he started following, like, his eyes. He was tracking around the moon. Like, he had control of his arm, but he didn't start speaking, and he did not start actually, like, attempting to walk for over a year.
Wow.
Yeah. So we went from... I mean, literally, I had the most picture-perfect life. You know, big house, fancy car, great marriage, you know, kids. Like, our daughter was a cheerleader, and our son is super smart. You know, just, like, I mean, really more than I ever thought I would ever have in my life is what I had. I had a brick-and-mortar. I had a full execution team. We were serving companies around the world. We were doing brand management. Just... everything was perfect. And then with a single phone call that night, March 7th of 2017, our entire, like, everything came crumbling down around me. And we ended up moving. We're from a very small town in Louisiana, and our son couldn't get the care that he needed to get there. So we moved. We uprooted our family, and we left everyone that we knew, and we moved to Texas so that he could get the care that he needed. And we got to this really, really crazy position where, you know, you don't know. You have absolutely no idea what's going to happen. If everything is going to end up being okay, if he was going to wake up, if he was going to live, like, there was just all of these things that we didn't know about. And so we just, you know, hoped and prayed that everything was going to be okay. And we came to Texas. And then people were really, really optimistic when we got here, but then he continued on and he didn't wake up. You know, when we got to Texas, they were like, I think he's going to wake up in the next couple of weeks. And then the next couple of weeks went by, and then the next couple of weeks, and the next couple of weeks. And, you know, you don't realize how grateful you should be for everything in every moment until you get to a moment where, you know, you wake up in the morning and you're like, is today going to be the day that he wakes up? Is today going to be the day? Is today, you know? And for me, I'm someone who has been, again, going back to, like, that little, like, reprimanded toddler, I was so mad. I was so mad at God, the universe, however you want to define it. I was so angry. And so every day I would wake up and I would just, like, speak it into existence. Like, today is going to be the day that he's going to wake up. Today is going to be the day. And then day after day it wasn't. And it was by far the hardest thing I've ever been through in my life.
Well, I'm sure, you know, if people are listening to the show can take a step back and take a breath back and just look at the dynamics of a situation like that. Here you are, you're on top of the world, right? You're doing more than you thought you were going to do. Your kids are great. Nobody wants anything to happen to their children ever. And if anybody ever did anything to your child, you'd probably dig up that body after you killed it and rebeat it, right? Mm-hmm. That's a normal parent. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you have this tragic accident. You have to relocate your entire family, change their entire worlds to hopefully see your son smile again. You know, that's, wow, that's heavy. That's a lot. That's a lot for somebody to go through.
Yeah, it was really, really crazy. And you can tell me how deep or how not deep you want me to go, but our son, so his accident was in March, and there were a lot of issues. And it was one of those kind, I don't know if you've ever gone through a season like this, but it's like, like, if it could go wrong, it did.
It did?
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my husband and I didn't work for a year. And thankfully, we had savings that we were able to stretch. But it was just, like, a really, really crazy, insane time. Obviously, like, difficult financially, physically, emotionally, mentally. There was in July, end of June, beginning of July, where there was an issue with the insurance, and our son, like, very suddenly could not be in the hospital anymore, and they wanted him to go into a nursing home. And we were like, that's not going to happen. He's going to come home with us. We're not going to put our 18-year-old son in a nursing home. So we became the 24-hour caregiver for him while he was in a coma. And he had fluctuating hydrocephalus, which means that any time that he moved, he would vomit. He was not able to handle position changes. Yeah, so we went from not only were we taking care of our kids and, you know, being there with the team, but then it was we had them at home. And we became these caregivers. And then when he started to wake up, he was very, very violent, which is pretty common with patients who have head injuries. So he became very, very violent. And it was like to the point where we really had no help because caregivers were afraid to even do it. And this is even when he was in rehab facilities and those kind of pieces as well. I mean, it was just such a crazy, crazy time. And during this time, we actually went through Hurricane Harvey.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, it was just one thing after another after another. And you can imagine my response as, like, this reprimanded toddler. I was angry. I was so angry because I felt like I had done everything. Like, I was a good person. Why did this happen? You know, all of those things. And there have been so many things that have changed for us. I mean, honestly, like, for the better. There, we have grown, like, our entire family has grown so much through everything that we are completely different people now.
Well, you have experienced something that most people would never think about and nobody wants to experience. Nobody raises
right.
their hand and says, hey, can we go through a shit ton of tragedy just because? Nobody does that. So
No. That
really puts you and your family in an awareness, like I said, you don't know what you don't know until you know, in a place of awareness that I think is a universal opening. I think when you experience things that's that real and that powerful, it really opens up things in your head and things in your heart and things in your body that you never even knew existed. Like, all these doors start opening up and you have more compassion and you're more empowered. Don't you feel stronger and like, whew.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, there's nothing that we can't face.
And your children, even your small ones, are able to handle harder problems because they've really gone through one of the hardest.
Absolutely. Yeah, our youngest, this is 2017, so he was like 8, 9 around the time that the accident happened that first year, and he was front and center. Like, when our son that was injured would have a seizure or he would have, you know, any kind of issue with his hydrocephalus or anything like that, I mean, he was front and center. He was like mama's little helper. And so, yeah, if you look at the dynamic and to hear our kids now, like both of our kids struggle in school now. And it's not, and when I say both of our kids, I mean our younger kids. When I say struggle, what I mean by that is, like, their grades are great. Like, they don't struggle with the material. They struggle with the connections and bonds with other people their age.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, they're like,
mine
they come
does
home,
too.
They're like, yeah, like, mom, these people are talking about, you know, this and that. And, like, I can't relate. Like, no one can relate to me. And so that has been very, very interesting. I would say interesting, because like, it's sad on some level. Like, I want them to have a normal experience, but at the same time, I'm so grateful that they have the awareness that they have.
Well, and what, as hard as that is, I'm a true believer that things happen to put you on the path you're supposed to be on. And just like butterflies turn, you know, come out of their cocoons, you can't tell me that it's not bruised. You can't tell me that that didn't hurt, that there wasn't times in which your caterpillar butterfly transformation didn't suck. But
oh,
at
absolutely.
The end, you fly out this beautiful, delicate creature that inspires everyone. And so
absolutely.
As hard as it is to watch, I think it really sets a tone for leaders for tomorrow. Because if your kids didn't go through that, my kid didn't go through that, they wouldn't be strong enough to handle what's coming in their future, if that makes sense.
Right.
And that's just my belief.
I think experiencing that kind of trauma and that kind of challenge with other people too, it you connect on such a deeper level. And I'll tell you, you know, I've always loved my husband. Always.
Yeah.
We've been together for a long time, but me seeing him and how he dealt with our son. I told you, I mentioned that our son was very violent whenever he was first beginning to wake up. And what happened is, I mean, for those of you that aren't familiar with head injury, as his brain was beginning to wake up, he didn't have the ability to understand what was a threat and what was not a threat. So anything in his environment he perceived as a threat. And
he was unable to filter. Yeah.
Exactly. He had no ability to filter. And so everything was a threat. And so everything, he was fight or flight, right? And for him, he could not flee because he was unable to walk. So it was always fight. It was always fight. And there was at one point in time where my husband was literally the only person who could take care of him. And, you know, for my husband, and I mean, I think probably for most adults, his identity often has had a big part of his identity was this provider, right? You know, he goes to work, he has a very successful practice, you know, he's a provider. And then all of a sudden, he couldn't be that anymore because he was the only one that could take care of our son. And so what ended up happening was our son got to the point where he was, you know, very, very violent. And my husband went in there to care for him at one point in time. And our son was able to get his hands around my husband's throat. And he was squeezing as hard as he could. And so when our son had his accident, he was very, very fit. Like, that was the whole reason that he survived. You know, he was his squad leader for PT, was running miles and miles and miles a day. And so he did lose a lot of weight and his tone, and those, but he was still very strong, very, very strong. And so he had his hands around my husband's throat, and he was squeezing as hard as he could. And I just remember, like, I was behind our son, and I was standing behind him so that, and if he leaned back or whatever, I could catch him, he wouldn't fall. My husband was in front. And we were trying to get his leg exercises in so his legs didn't get contracted. And,
right.
And he was squeezing as hard as he could. And my husband, it's like he never, it just never fazed him. It absolutely never fazed him. Like, nothing that happened really ever fazed him. And he was able to just keep his composure. Like, just the way that his love is so unconditional. Like, I've always known he's a very loving man, but his ability to keep his calm no matter what happened and to treat our son with such love and such compassion. And this is, guys, this is not like, this is not like your child gets sick for a week, or your child gets sick for 2 weeks, or your child needs your help for a month. This was literally day after day after day where he was the only one. This is day and nighttime care, you know, so he's the only one giving him this medicine through the PEG tubes, doing all of his cleaning, doing his therapy. I mean, it was so exhausting for him, and he never faltered. And it just, like, my love and my respect for him grew so much, and I already had so much to begin with, but it was just, it was amazing.
Well, we are running out of time. Can you believe that? This goes by so fast, doesn't it? It's crazy. It goes by so fast. So two things I need from you, or I would love from you. One is, where do we find more information about you?
You can find me at BridgetIrby.com, www.BridgetIrby.com.
And as of today, tell us about your son. How is he?
He is tremendously better. He is able to walk with a rolling walker. He is able to talk. He can talk on the phone. He can communicate. And he is slowly but surely regaining his new life and stepping into that with much more grace than I think I would probably have. He's doing really, really well.
Awesome. Awesome. We have this beautiful opportunity in life to share our stories. And unfortunately, it just goes by too fast. And I don't want to take away from your son's journey, because I think it's beautiful. And I think it's what has made you stronger, more beautiful, more passionate, more creative, and a larger inspiration in our world. But I want to know about Unleash the Unstoppable too. And we have like 10 minutes. So
I created Unleash the Unstoppable when we were going through everything with our son, and I was feeling so sorry for myself. I was actually sitting in the cafeteria one day, and I met this woman who, her son was 14 years old, and he was right down the hall from our son. And, you know, my husband and I, we stopped everything, and thankfully we were able to financially be able to be there with our son. And as scary as it was, and as many things as we had to shift to make that happen, we were able to be there every day. So we were there when he woke up. We were there when he took his first step. We were there. And she wasn't able to do that. So she was getting ready to leave. And until I sat there and I met that woman and had that conversation with her, I didn't realize how lucky we were and how lucky we are, because even though we were in such a horrible situation, we were able to generate cash flow, and we were able to build a business and be at the bedside. And so she had to leave. She had to drive hundreds of miles back home to go to work. So she was only there on the weekends. She wasn't there when he woke up. She wasn't there when he took his first step. You can imagine how that was for both her and her son.
Oh, absolutely.
So I knew that, yeah. So I committed 1,000% that whenever I step back into business, then it wasn't going to be just me going and doing more corporate consulting. As much as I love that, and I still do that, we still do turnarounds, we still do a lot of brand management, we still do all of the pieces. I wanted to create something that would allow regular people, your small business owners, your solopreneurs, your speakers, authors, coaches, the people who can really impact the world. I wanted to create something that would allow them to generate cash flow quickly. So if they ever needed to be with their family, they would have the quick, clear way to cash flow so that they could do that. And that's where Unleash the Unstoppable came from. It was really about when you need to be unstoppable, when you need to unleash yourself, this is what you do. And the formula is really all about being able to generate cash flow quickly in a way that will allow you time freedom as well.
And we can find the book where?
You can, there's links on my website. So if you go to BridgetErby.com, you can find it there. And you can also find it at UnleashTheUnstoppable.com too. And it's on Amazon.
If you had top three things, the top three things coming from a woman, a mother, a human being on the planet, somebody who's gone through some pretty tough stuff, top three things to someone out there that's listening who may be homeless, may have cancer, may, you know, the list of possibilities are huge. What would you give them to work towards?
Like to achieve an outcome, to work towards, or to inspire?
That's your decision, my friend. It's an open-ended question purposefully.
I think if there's someone out there right now that's struggling, the first thing that I would want you to know is that you are not alone. And as much as we all want to put on our big brave faces and we all go out and we network and we go to parties and we hang out with each other, I want you to know everyone walks in a room and everyone is carrying something. And just because there's something looks different than your something, everyone has something and no one is any different than you. Maybe they can put on a brave face and maybe they carry it where it's not so much on the outside, but everyone's struggling with something and you're not alone. The second thing that I would want them to know is that you're not finished yet. You are so much stronger than you know. And all you have to do is keep going. You keep putting one foot in front of the other. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. And I can tell you, coming from someone who has lived through some very, very dark times, during my season with our son's accident, there were times where literally all I could do was just breathe. Like it wasn't even a matter of existing or like of trying to be able to move things forward. There will be times in your life where all you can do is to just breathe, and that's okay. And when you have an opportunity where you can take a single step, you take that step. And if that means that once you take that step, that all you can do is just breathe for the next day, or maybe the next week, or maybe it's the next month, or maybe it's the next year of your life. If all you can do for the next year is to just breathe and to just hold on, that's okay. You're not the only one that's just holding on. And as soon as the light comes and you feel like you can take that next step, you just take it. You step when you can, and as long as you keep going, that's all that you need to do. And eventually, you will end up somewhere that you never thought was possible.
I think that's the hardest thing. In my dark times, I would drive by a telephone pole going,
Yeah.
That would really solve a lot of my problems, you know. And then you think about the people that the problems get worse for when you do something like that. And I think it's normal, healthy, and okay to appreciate, respect, and have a moment. But it's really important to focus on that extra step. And as I say, if you can't walk, crawl. And if you can't crawl, use your shoulder blades because they'll help you move. You can move that one more inch. And it's really, when you're in those places, it really is an inch-by-inch game at that point.
I will tell you one more thing, and then I know we need to go. 3 years before our son's accident, my husband and I set this goal. We wrote out all of our goals on this big, giant piece of paper, and we hung it up. And one of our goals was we wanted to live on the water. And, you know, after Stephen's accident, everything happened. I was just like, there's no way that's going to happen. We moved into a house on the water.
Nice.
It's been a year and a half ago. Yeah. And it happened so, I mean, it was just very much like divine timing. All of these pieces fell into place. And I can remember walking out to the dock and sitting there and just being like, wow. And I didn't even remember. Like, I completely forgot about us writing that down, years before that. And then you know, I had that nudge and I remembered that, and I just thought, wow, like even the journey wasn't anything like what I thought it was going to be, but the outcome, the result is incredibly beautiful. So no matter what your journey looks like, know that your outcome can still be beautiful.
It's really, if you sit back and just think about then and now and tomorrow, I don't even think about tomorrow anymore. Like I don't worry about it. Which is wild when you get to that place where you're just like, yeah, we'll see what happens. Because I was
never like that.
I was always the planner.
I totally get
that.
I love it.
But now through tragedy, you know, that planning is a human way of trying to have control over chaos that you just can't have control over.
Right.
And I think it's beautiful. I think it's beautiful that the framework that's made you who you are has developed you into your truest and authentic self. I mean, if none of this happened, who knows? And
right.
Who cares to think about it? But the fact of the matter is all of this turned into a beautiful woman, a beautiful mom who is out there helping people take that extra step, that extra breath. And that, girlfriend, high five. Nice work. We need more of you.
Right back at you. This has been so awesome.
Thank you. You've been awesome. And I'm just so, you know, I don't think we need more tragedy. Don't misinterpret what I said. We just need more people out there doing great things for other people and inspiring them to take an extra step. And you know, high five to you. And are you going to be speaking anywhere that we should be on the lookout for?
I am going to be in San Antonio in May, and I've got several events I'm doing there, which will be up on the website soon.
Yay!
Yay!
That was beautiful. That was so much fun. We have to do this again sometime.
Yes, yes. You are phenomenal. You are a rock star, and I absolutely adore you.
Big hugs to you. And you know what? I keep getting all these fantastic people from Texas. I'm going to have to take the big old leap and go out there someday. Then we'll have lunch
yes.
Cocktails on the couch. I think that would be lovely.
Oh, my gosh. So I'm going to do a big women's event in May in San Antonio.
Okay.
You should totally come.
Yeah, send me the information. I'll see if I can squeeze my little butt on a plane out there. That would be fun. That would be a lot of fun to go.
Perfect. Yes. Thank you so much.
You can throw me in the volunteer couch, too. You'd be like, here's Rusty. She volunteers for everything. Because these events are always crazy. Like, you know how many events I've spoken at where I'm the keynote speaker, but I'm also the volunteer because volunteers didn't show up and everything's chaotic.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
The food didn't arrive,
like,
or a rope broke.
It's chaotic.
Every event.
Right? Every event. Yeah, I just came back
a volunteer
from a string of events in Dallas. I just got back into town, and it was, it was chaotic.
Exhausting.
It was good.
All right. Well, let's reconnect. And I just think you're adorable. And I'm just so happy to have connected with you. I don't remember how we met each other, but, you know, that's friends for life there. Give your
Absolutely.
Son a big squeeze for me.
I will do it. I will do it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Bridget. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and I'm Rusty, and what a life I live. I mean, did you hear her story? Did you hear her positivity? Did you hear what she went through? Shoot, most of us would be panhandling under a bridge, drinking some really bad booze after all of that. But not Bridget. What'd she do? She took a sour apple, planted it in the ground, and grew a beautiful tree. Unleashed the unstoppable. That's who you should be. That's who I want to be. Going one more step. We've got this. Know that you're loved. Know that you're beautiful. And I would really love it if you were to go out and do something kind for somebody today. Like, leave a note, love note to some stranger. Don't give them your name. Make them wonder who thinks they're beautiful. Or say, hey, nice hairdo. Or maybe buy a cup of coffee. Or if you remember, my birthday's next week, I would love a birthday card. Until next time, just be happy. Do good.
Living and vibing with Rob. see.